Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. We're glad that you all could be with us. Also, those tuning in through online affiliates around the world, we're glad you all could join us as well. I'm excited to welcome back author Jenna Gillum to our program today. Jenna's celebrating a brand new book called You Were Made for Me, and it is really a funny book that really has some great lessons, I think, for us. We're going to talk to Jenna not only about the writing of the book, but also what it's been like for her to do what she loves as a storyteller and to share that experience with all of us. If you guys have not gotten the book for yourself, of course, we'll let you know how to get your own copy. But Jenna, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jenna, this is a really fun read, and I think, you know, there, as I was saying to you before we went on here, a lot of great lessons for us, too. I know the book is just now out, but what has it been like for you to see the way that people have been responding to it?
Oh, it's been really great. I mean, I'm in Australia, and the Australian edition was actually published last year, so it's good to kind of have these two different ways of the book release. And see Australian readers respond to it, and then readers in the US. That's always really fun and interesting to see the different things that different audiences react to.
Well, people got to know you, including our first conversation, Jenna, was about your book, What I Like About Me, Another Fun Read. I mean, what has it been like for you now, not only to settle into being a published author, but to have people looking forward to what you're going to give us next?
Oh, that's really exciting, and I'm really honored if anybody feels that way. You know, being a writer, I think we're all quite insecure little creatures, and every time you write, you're kind of like, does anyone even want to read this? Does it really, does anyone care kind of thing? So it's always really lovely to have readers get in touch and say that they enjoyed a book or they're looking forward to the next one. It really, like, feeds my fragile writer soul, at least.
yeah. Well, what I love about this book, and really I think if I go back, Jenna, even to the book, what I like about me is that you give us characters that are us. They're relatable. I mean, I think there's so many people who can see themselves in it, see someone that they know. Is that also part of the fun for you, that people feel a connection to these characters?
Definitely. That's one of the main reasons that I read, is to kind of, when I feel connected to a character and I feel like they reflect my life in some way or become my friend in some way, that's what I enjoy about reading. And so when someone tells me that they feel that way about my books, that's the most special feeling, because that means that you have connected with someone on a personal level and, affected their emotions, and that's something that maybe will live with them for a little bit longer than the actual time it takes to read the book, and that is really meaningful.
I think the thing about Katie, to speak specifically about You Were Made for Me, is that Katie is the perfect reminder for all of us sometimes, be careful what you wish for, and also I think be careful of what you do, right? I mean, talk to us about the inspiration behind You Were Made for Me, Jenna. Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, so You Were Made for Me came out of the first line, actually. This hasn't happened to me before, but the first line kind of entered my head, which is the day I created a boy started out like any other. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting, and kind of had like flashes of scenes in my head immediately, which ended up in the book in terms of Katie and her friend Libby creating this boy. But I realized pretty quickly that it was similar to the plot of Weird Science. So I went back and rewatched Weird Science and was like, okay, this is interesting. It's quite dated now. And, but I felt like there was stuff in there that I could take inspiration from and give my own twist on. Because I think like what was interesting about Weird Science is that it's very much about like these two teen boys who just want to create the perfect woman, and they kind of like really objectify her and objectify the other girls in their lives. And so I wanted to take that idea and explore what, like, teen female desire is on a spectrum and what that might look like if they get their own desires fulfilled, and, you know, what the difference between fantasy and reality as well.
Yeah. And I think you do it in such a great way. I think the other big thing is, and I'll talk around this, Jenna, you'll know what I'm talking about, and those who have read it will, but for those who have not read the book yet, I won't be spoiling it for them. I think the other thing is with the main character, and I think with us also, with Katie, is that we understand sometimes we overlook what is literally right in front of us, right? Because we want something that seems almost unattainable, but also unrealistic, right?
Totally. What I think I really want to explore, especially because with YA, in general, young adult books, I mean, this is not so much anymore, but in the past, there was this really big boom that with all the heroes and all the love interests were like these really perfect, ideal fantasy guys that weren't remotely like actual teenage boys. You know, this is going back way back to like Twilight days and all of that, where it's like they were literal like superhuman beings. And like that is that's a different subgenre as well. But I guess I wanted to explore the idea of like what these fantasy creatures might actually be like in real life. And is there really something that would be desirable, or, you know, if someone who's human and has flaws but is thoughtful and caring in different ways might actually be a more suitable love interest, really.
Yeah. I think, you know, it is the thing about you, too, is that, and it's interesting that you do this for YA. You did it definitely with your debut, Jenna, and you really, I think, kind of amplified it with You Are Made For Me, is showing the importance of being real. And I think in a world today where social media and so many other things kind of make us sometimes feel less than, or, you know, feel like we have to put forth a certain image, you really show us the importance of just being ourselves and wanting someone to want us for ourselves. There's that great conversation you have in the book between Guy and Katie, where Katie says to Guy, "Do you really like me?" And he gives what would seem like, you know, the perfect answer. And yet, as Katie says, so why did I feel so disappointed? What was it like for you to kind of, even early on, let her understand that the way, and again, I'll talk around it, but the way she was going about trying to find that perfect guy was not the right way?
Yeah, that really came from when I was watching Weird Science. I was struck by the idea that this perfect person had been created literally to be not just the object of desire, but also in to return that desire. And I think there's not a lot of agency in the role of that person. And they don't, you know, like the idea that Guy was created just to be kind of Katie's boyfriend. It felt like he didn't really have a choice in the matter. And what does that mean when someone doesn't really have a choice in how they feel about you? And does that really actually feel good? And so that's something that Katie questions, because at the end of the day, all we want from a partner, well, not all we want, but, you know, one of the main things we want from a partner is that they see us and they know us and they understand us. And so when someone's coming in and they don't actually know you, but they've got this built-in, you know, insta-love almost, to talk about the trope, it doesn't really, it doesn't feel great necessarily.
Such a great point, and it's such a great reminder, I think, for all of us, regardless of what age we might be. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Jenna Gillum is back with us today. Jenna celebrating a brand-new book called You Were Made For Me. Another powerful thing, and I thought about it when you were just talking there, Jenna, I love this scene, and I wish I could actually say what it is, but I can't say what it is without giving something away from the story. But I'll once again, we'll talk around it. It's where Katie, I think, realizes when she sees the impact of her decision, and again, you'll know what I'm talking about, on Guy, who was really the victim, right, in all of this, that she realizes how, even inadvertently, she had become a monster or become the bad guy, so to speak. I think that is such an interesting conversation, because I think and again, you can say as much about this or a little about this as you want. I think sometimes we, even when we think we're doing something that is harmless or, what could it hurt, we realize that really, even though it may not be our intention, we can be the one causing the damage. What was that like for you to kind of explore in a YA book?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It's interesting because, I've seen some people have called Katie self-involved, and she can be quite self-involved, but, that's kind of what I wanted to explore, because I think as a teenager especially, you are very focused on your own little world. I mean, teens obviously do think about the wider world as such, but I think your feelings are so intense at that time, and so everything feels supercharged. She really wants to fit in with others, and she wants people to care for her. But the way she goes about it is not necessarily the best, because it does hurt other people. And she, I think especially, with Guy, like, she literally created him. It was an accident, but it happens. And she has this responsibility for him, which is probably quite overwhelming for her. Goes back to, this is a very different story to Frankenstein, but obviously they share similar elements. But it goes back to Frankenstein and the idea that Frankenstein, the doctor, is actually the monster, because he creates this being and then abandons it. And it's kind of like, what is the responsibility of that person when, you have literally brought this thing to life, and then you're solely responsible for how they feel. So there's a lot of layers to it. Going back to just trying to keep this very weird, high concept thing grounded in reality, it was really the idea that when you're so focused on what you desire, you can sometimes let other people down, and just being aware of how your actions affect others, for sure.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's like sometimes we, not only are we in these situations, Jenna, but it's situations of our own making. And as Libby, the other character in the book, kind of really shows, when it came to the relationship with Katie, really saying the truth. I do want to read a bit of this, because I think it is so interesting. Libby says to Katie, "I swear it's like you want there to be drama in your life, like you can't just let yourself be happy. I mean, think about it. You pine for the perfect guy, and bang, the perfect guy shows up." And then, she goes on to say, "And you somehow twist all of this into the idea that you're not what? Pretty, funny, smart, because you are all of those things, Katie. You are good enough. Your problem is you secretly don't think anyone or anything is good enough for you." Only a friend could say that for one thing, I think, to somebody. but what was it like for you to have Libby in Katie's life to kind of, be someone on the outside looking in and kind of talking about what was really seen to be going on with her, and when it comes to her being satisfied and being content?
Libby was a crucial character, actually, and, if you've read the book, you'll know that basically the idea is that Katie is writing down this story, and Libby is kind of acting as her editor and interjects occasionally and gives her commentary, as well as obviously being part of the story itself. And that dual kind of voice came through really strongly as soon as I started writing, and Libby's voice kind of being there for Katie and also being very real with her and supportive at the same time was really important. And so, I had a lot of fun with Libby, but also, hearing you read that back, I was like, wow, she really cut Katie to the core. She really got her down. That's what friends are for, right? The best kind of friends will tell you.
Yeah.
Where you're, to pull your head out and to like wake up to yourself a little bit and give you a reality check in the most loving way. And that's what Katie needs. She's so in her own head. And I could totally relate to that. And, I'm sure other people will. This idea, when you're a perfectionist, It's like you can't live up to your own ideals, and you kind of get this imposter syndrome, so that if anyone compliments you, it's hard to take in. But at the same time, you're maybe projecting onto other people as well, and judging them by extremely high standards that are totally unrealistic. And it's quite a distressing way to be. It can be distressing for yourself, but it can also hurt the people around you in the way that you react to them.
Yeah, such a great point. So last thing I want to talk to you about, Jenna, you've given us this great book. I think I read it in 4 days. I'm sure some people are reading it quicker than even me. You know, last year, of course, you released your debut novel in an interesting time. We were kind of in the middle of the pandemic. Now it seems like we may be, you know, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. How have you been connecting with readers with the new book?
Yeah, it's been a challenge. I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, I'm still a bit sad because I was supposed to come to America last year and see my book on shelves and all of that. And it's been quite surreal to then have a second book released when I still am unable to travel or anything like that. So really the main way is just online and on social media. That's the best way to reach people. And I do get some lovely messages. So that's been really nice.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to have you on the program, Jenna, to talk about this book. I really enjoyed it. Love your style of writing, and I love the fact that even though you write for a YA audience, it really shows us adults that we still got work to do. So, of course, if we think young people have their challenges, I think we all do too. Again, everyone, Jenna Gillum has been our guest. You Were Made for Me is the new book. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore. So make sure you all take advantage of that. And Jenna, how can our audience stay connected with you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook under my name, it's Gillaume is how you spell my last name. But if you just search me, I'm on all those platforms.
Yeah. All right, Jenna, thank you so much again for the time. I really appreciate it and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, glad to do it. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.